Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, Text 15. Ihate Bhagavan Isho. Hi nahi tatra visajite. Atma labena purnarato. Na vasidanti ye nutam. Ihate engages in activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Isha, the Supreme Controller. Na, not. He, indeed. Tatra, in such activities. Visajite, he becomes entangled. Atmalabena, because of his own gain. Purna Artha, who is self-satisfied. Na, not. Avasidanti, are disheartened. Yea, persons who. Anu, follow. Tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swamiji Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by His own gain. Yet He acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of His acting in that way, He is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in His footsteps are also never entangled. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, yajñātart karmano yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled, like silkworms in cocoons. Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities. And because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence in one body after another in different forms of life. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Amayavam so jivaloke jiva bhutak sanatana minakshastran indriyani prakriti stani karshiti. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal, fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are actually minute forms who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The living entity, the Supreme Lord, is full in everything. And the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like Him. But because of their minute existence, they're infected by material attraction and thus entangled. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, like Krishna, who is never entangled by His material activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we will have nothing for which to lament. Na vasidanti ye nutam. Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows these instructions is liberated. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one becomes one is a devotee. For Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana Baba Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship. Madhyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. Ihate bhagavani sho nahi tatra visajate atma labena purnarto navisidantiye nutam. Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by his own gain. Yet he acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of his acting in this way, he is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are also never entangled. Lord Krishna has two kinds of pastimes. One of these is Krishna's pastimes in the material world, in his creation, his maintenance, and his ultimate annihilation of the universe, or universes. In other words, we're actually living in one of Krishna's pastimes. That pastime is trying to reclaim the conditioned souls through the incarnations and through his external energy. One is the carrot, the other is the stick. One is the lotus flower, and the other is the disc. It's up to us which one we like. Smell the lotus flower or feel the disc. Clean shave. So that's our choice in the material world. Unfortunately, itevidu swarthagatim hi Vishnu. People don't know that they have a choice. They think their choice is one brand of beer or another brand of beer. As I said before, when Sridhar Maharaj was at Woodstock and he was giving a lecture to hundreds if not thousands of intoxicated hippies about the four regular principles, exactly what they came to Woodstock to hear about. Then in the midst of his lecture, someone threw a can of beer at him on stage. And Sridhar Maharaj picked up the beer and looked at it and said, "This is not my brand." So they think that's the choice between one brand of beer and another. Because Natevidu Swartikitim Hi Vishnu, they have no idea that there's a person called Vishnu. And even if they have some idea of a person called Vishnu, they think it's an imagination of an intoxicated sage in the Himalayas. Therefore, if people are going to find out about Krishna, they have to find out first, it has to be a progressive realization. Therefore, Krishna is, in Bhagavad Gita, he gives so many things about karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and finally bhakti yoga. But as we know in this age, people, they can hardly pronounce karma yoga, what to speak of practice it. Or jnana yoga. Astanga yoga means if you can touch your toe to your nose, you're a Astanga yogi. And the only regular principle you follow is that there are no regular principles. Therefore, Krishna says, manmana, manmana, bhava madbhakta. Manmana, first of all, people have to hear. And if people are going to hear, they have to hear from someone they want to hear from. You can't actually hear from someone you don't want to hear from. It's not possible. Because as soon as they say something, your mind is saying something to defeat them. You're just waiting for them to stop speaking so you can say what you're saying so you can contradict everything that they just said, if you can remember anything that they said. Therefore, manmana, our first business is to hear about Krishna and to tell people about Krishna in a way that they can understand something. Srila Prabhupada's general introduction to Krishna consciousness, which I heard for at least the first 3 years that I was a devotee, unite the body. They used to sing songs about that. You're not this body, you're just a spirit soul. What was the next line? Something about, you're not this body, you're just a spirit soul. The body is just a changing dress meant to grow old. So that's the first thing that anyone with a little bit of intelligence might be able to understand. And they may not if they understand that, then they can understand that we're not as crazy as they think we are. They still may think we're crazy, but not quite as much as they thought. Because we're actually giving them real knowledge. Except for explaining that, all this information about so many different topics, as Shukadeva Goswami says, there are hundreds of millions of topics just filling people's minds. But none of them have any real permanent value. There's always something exciting going on, whether it's the pandemic, if it wasn't that, it's towers falling down. Something is going to start people's attention. Nothing about their actual eternal self, just something about all the different changes and permutations happening in the material world. How one powerful force is trying to take over a less powerful force. In the animal kingdoms, the red ants versus the black ants. But actual knowledge that has some relevance to our real self is our eternality. But that in itself is not sufficient. So therefore, Krishna says, manmana, tell people about Krishna consciousness and even the fact that Krishna is God. But then it should be explained to people in such a way that they can do something, not just become a spectator. They should become a participator. Krishna consciousness is not a spectator sport. The temple presidents versus the GPC. Yeah, go, go. Hit them harder. No, it's an actually participating sport. People have to learn how they can participate in the movement, where they fit in, where they can find friendship, where they can do something valuable, what they're going to get back from it, and what their obligations are. As Prabhupada mentions here about initiation. Initiation doesn't mean to throw some grains into the fire and pray that my sinful reactions will go somewhere, maybe to my initiating guru, he'll absorb them. You shouldn't worry, I'm going to give him some dakshin to pay for the doctor bill at the end. No, actually initiation, Prabhupada explained, is to throw our false ego into the fire and have a new identity. That's the beginning of a new identity. I'm dasa, dasa, anudasa. That's initiation. If we take initiation not with the mood, I'm becoming not only the servant of my initiating guru, but because he's an elevated spiritual personality, he's going to teach me how to properly become a bona fide servant of all the other devotees. Those who are superior to me, I'm going to listen to their instructions and carry them out. Those who are on the same level, I'm going to cooperate with them to advance in Krishna consciousness and to give it to others. And for those who are inferior in development, I'm going to be merciful to them and try to do whatever I can to help elevate them to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So those are the instructions we're supposed to receive. And if we receive them as a servant of the disciple succession, identifying ourselves as a servant of the servant of Krishna, not this body, not the mind, then that's real initiation. Otherwise, we can see so many devotees take initiation, but they don't really so clearly identify themselves as the servant of the servants, and therefore they remain on the neophyte platform and don't develop actual loving exchanges with all the devotees appropriately. And therefore, because of the offenses, they lose the taste of the holy name and they can't keep on chanting it. Or if they are trying to chant it, it's a struggle. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking about why Krishna is so merciful, he's giving us so many names. I'm trying to chant them. He said I can do it any time, and I hardly can do it any time. Why is that? I get my rounds done, the last counterbeat goes down, and my heart goes up. Oh, what a relief. Now I can eat. So, why is it I feel like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. Then he answers his own question. Trinada pisani chena treva sihishnuna amarina maradena kirtini yaksidahari. He says one has to become humble. Humble in the real sense of the term. And that means the servant of the servant of Krishna. That I'm 1/10,000th the size of Tipahara in size. I didn't get any bigger after becoming initiated. I stayed the same. And all these other devotees and all the living entities in this world, they're also just my same size. We're all about the same size. 1/10,000th the size of Tipahara in size. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a mission to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, so if I'm going to become a devotee and actually chant Hare Krishna, oh my Lord, oh the energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service, then that's what I have to become. To execute the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Krishna, then I have to chant Hare Krishna with some feeling. And if I think that my material assets, whatever they may be, are my qualification to chant Hare Krishna, or even to preach and spread Krishna consciousness, then I won't be humble because I'll mistake the doer of the activities for myself and not realize that whatever I'm able to accomplish is Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion is all by the mercy of our previous acharyas. That the best we can hope for is to become an actual instrument for our previous acharyas. And when we see that we're performing activities, we should understand that it's not exactly us who's performing our activities. We're not 100% apart from what's going on, because our desires are quite important in the equation. But the very desires we have cannot be fulfilled without the mercy of Krishna and his representatives. So that's the foundation for real humility, trinada peace, sunichena, turar, tolerance. Now, even we may become a great bona fide devotee of Krishna, we may be amazed about all the wonderful things that I'm doing as an instrument for Krishna, but it's not the whole world will surrender to me. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada once said, as soon as you become a pure devotee, you know, the whole world will become your enemy, practically speaking, most of it. People are not, they didn't come here looking for, if you go to the jail, and most of the people are not waiting for the saint to come and save them in the jail. They're not getting trained up, for the most part, in becoming saints. Of course, we have our prison ministry, which is maybe making the equation a little different. But most people go to jail and they get trained up to become a better thief. They learn from all the professionals. So by the time they get out of jail, they're ready for it. Here I am. Check your pocket. Therefore, tolerance. Not only we have to tolerate other living entities, the climate, our own body. This is the tolerant, not that I grit my teeth and I curse Krishna, but tolerance means that we tolerate by putting our minds upon Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. By recognizing that everything here belongs to Krishna, and in spite of the fact that my senses and mind want everything to belong to me, I tolerate my senses and mind, and I utilize things for Krishna, in Krishna's service. Tarar, api, sunichena, amanina, and then to appreciate others. Then in Kali Yuga, there's certainly enough criticism. It's not that if I don't criticize others, they won't get the information. You don't have to worry about it. If you don't criticize someone, someone else will fill in your gap. Kali Yuga is full of criticizing. Everyone is criticizing everyone else. Therefore, for someone who finds some appreciation for others, it's like lighting a match in a dark room. Where did that come from? People are just hungry for appreciation. As I mentioned before, when I was distributing books in the airport, the most powerful technique I ever learned for stopping people, which sometimes works to your disadvantage, especially if you stop the wrong people, but if you give someone some appreciation, whatever it is. I mean, people, they dress in a certain way, they have a certain t-shirt on, has some name on it, especially they wear certain shoes, or they have, you know, something you can tell them that gives them some appreciation. Immediately they want to stop and find out more. My favorite was the cowboys. Because every cowboy, his main pride, probably he spent half his salary buying some boots. And there are varieties of boots that they buy. There's rattlesnake boots, made out of rattlesnakes. There's sheep. There's lizard. There's alligator. So if you learn all the different boots, you go, rattlesnake! And they go, yeah, all right. You're a part of the club. Good to meet you. Here's a book, Rattlesnake. And even people that we'd see every day at the airport, they'd pass by and go, wow, look at that shirt. And they go, yeah, I don't want anything. Get away. And they go, wow, he complimented me. They're just like struck, you know. He said something nice. I can't believe it. It's the first time in weeks anyone said anything nice to me. Maybe I should go back and buy the book. Maybe there's something nice in the book, too. So people are hungry for appreciation, a little bit of appreciation. They're starving. And no one, amarina, maradena, no one is really looking around, hey, do you find something wrong with me? As soon as you find something wrong with someone, immediately they'll think, yeah, he has some problems. The person you find something wrong with, yeah, a lot of problems. Finds something wrong with everyone, even me. So if we don't do that, if we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, then our minds will become peaceful and we can chant Hare Krishna without worrying about everyone I offended and criticized, all the respect I was trying to get and I never got, everything I see wrong in the material world that if only I was God, I could correct. Unfortunately, Krishna's God, and he's not correcting it. He needs a good assistant, me. Tell him how to use his power properly. So, to become a devotee, we hear, and manmana, we hear about things like that, then we can gradually try to become a devotee. Madbhakta, mam namaskaru. It means that we actually become humble, that I'm not all powerful, I'm not the source of all knowledge, I have to rely upon Krishna, as Krishna says, in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So how to become conscious? Accept that this world is Krishna's world. It belongs to him. He has his mission to deliver the conditioned souls, bring them back to him. They have a loving relation with him, first of all, and we can assist Krishna in that mission. Then find out from Krishna, his representatives, their good examples, our Mahajans, how they want me to act, what they want me to say, what they want me to think, how they want me to feel, and approach life in that way. Then, when we're actually a little bit more convinced that actually it's good to become Krishna's devotee, follow his instructions, then we could try to have develop our appreciation, our care, our attention, our love for Krishna. And when we have love for Krishna, when Krishna, as much as love, we have love for Krishna, priti, enthusiasm, however you want to call it, for Krishna consciousness, then Krishna reminds us of himself. Then Krishna appears at least in our memory in the beginning. We remember Krishna's instructions, remember his forms, remember so many things about Krishna, then the world becomes interesting in relation to Krishna. And if we actually are conscious of Krishna, then we'll become conscious of the fact that we're not the controllers, we're not the enjoyers, nor are we the saviors, and we can actually become a little peaceful, really peaceful. That I'm just doing this as a service to Krishna. I don't need wealth. I don't need women or men. I don't need followers. I don't need liberation. All I need is to be in that proper consciousness. Then, namaskaru. Then I see myself as a tiny servant of the servant of the servant at Krishna's lotus feet. I aspire for that. That becomes my ambition. Then we can actually start the actual experience of Krishna consciousness, feeling separation from him, or at least wanting to feel separation, and actually feeling Krishna's presence and contact with him through separation. Then, namaskaru, madhyajim, then our life becomes worshiping Krishna, and we can actually give up everything else as insignificant, tuchavat, and be in the same mood as Krishna's eternal associates, always trying to aspire for Krishna's service. Then our life actually is successful. So, even in the material world, because we're in the material world, we can practice in that way, and then after we become liberated, then we can practice in being in our spiritual identity as really feeling the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna and appreciating everyone and everything as they're meant to be appreciated and serve everyone and everything in relation to Krishna as they're meant to be served. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Would you like to say something, Maharaj? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for such an inspiring delineation. And my question is, if we feel a very strong urge to criticize, or it's not an urge to criticize, it's already an internal criticism. We are very critical of something. we may not say it, but it's in the mind, then what does one do in that situation? What's the best course of action in when we are filled with critical mentality?
We should start criticizing ourselves for being so critical. I mean, we can always try to replace the criticism. Well, first of all, we have to use our intelligence to find out whether the criticism was going to be helpful or not helpful. Sometimes criticism is helpful. If someone keeps on, you know, putting their hand in the fire, and you say, it's not a good idea. And you say, why are you always criticizing? I feel, you know, a lot of pleasure putting it. Anyhow, we have to analyze things and see whether or not our criticism will be beneficial or not. And even if it's beneficial, then we have to see if it's actually going to be accepted. Therefore, Krishna says we have to analyze things. Anuvegam karam vakyam sattva priya hitam jayat swadeya abhyasanam chaiva vangmana tapu uchate. Before we say something, we should see whether what I'm going to say is going to be pleasing, is going to be beneficial, is going to be following the Vedic scriptures, it's going to be truthful, beneficial, pleasing, following the Vedic scriptures, and it won't agitate people's minds. Because if it agitates their mind, it doesn't matter how beneficial it is, how pleasing it is, how shastric it is, how truthful it is, it's not, the message is not going to get through. So we have to analyze that and see, before we speak. And one of the things, as Krishna says, manat prasada samya tvam monamatma vinigraha bhava samshudir iye tad tapo manasam uchite. That the stirring of the mind, because if we're doing it to gratify our mind, what we're saying, it's probably not going to work out. So if our mind's not satisfied, if it's not controlled, if it's not grave, if it's not equanimity, then what we're saying or what we're doing or what we're thinking may be sense gratification. And sense gratification never has ultimately a positive result, or a permanent result at least. So it takes some intelligence. So since you asked such a nice question, it means then we have to hear and we have to see when the criticism or even praise comes up, because you can flatter people to get what you want. Flattery or criticism can be equally sense gratification. So we have to analyze, what is my motive? Am I doing it in Krishna consciousness? Or am I doing it in some other consciousness? And if we're doing it in Krishna consciousness, then it's much more likely, didami buddhi yogam tam, when we try to look back over Krishna's instructions, Krishna will give us the memory to look back over them and assimilate them and understand them, didami buddhi yogam tam, and give us the intelligence what to do to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So thoughtfulness. Jnana vairagya yuktaya. Become detached from all these thoughts. Look at them intelligently in Krishna consciousness and see whether what they're going to produce. Are they going to produce enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness, or are they going to make everyone morose and add to my collection of enemies? I don't have enough enemies. Things are getting boring. I know a few choice words to say I can add to my collection. Anything else? Yes.
I have no enemies.
What's that?
I have no enemies.
Well, that's... Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. So if your mind is completely fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you have no enemy whatsoever. Yes.
You've explained, Maharaj, that simply observing a ritual is not the whole initiation, probably it's the other way around, that observing the ritual is the consequence of some decisions made. And now my question is, you've said that main part of initiation is abandoning, leaving behind false ego, throwing it into the fire.
Well, at least part of the false ego.
Well,
because it's the beginning. But anyhow, accepting the fact that I should give up my false ego, and under the guidance of my gurus, learn how to become a better servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna.
Yeah, that's my question. Because there are examples of bona fide initiations when devotees didn't leave behind false ego, but they accepted instructions from the right source, and that was the key to success. So is that the whole thing, or is this accepting the right source? And you have to be probably humble to accept the right source, or intelligent, or is it the same being humble and intelligent, or can you be intelligent and not humble and accept the right source and be successful? For example,
I think you mentioned most of the possibilities are all there. No, there's two things. There's the right source and are accepting it with the right attitude. You may have a bona fide spiritual master, or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, you may have a bona fide spiritual master, and you may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if you're not intelligent enough to make progress, then the Lord helps from within. But the only qualification is you must be willing to do all kinds of service with love. So it's the attitude of the performer is also important. The understanding, the willingness to surrender and do all kinds of service with enthusiasm and love is also on the other side. Even you have a bona fide spiritual master and you're attached to a spiritual organization is not sufficient if you're not intelligent enough to make advancement. Still, Krishna will help if you have those qualifications. Being willing to do all kinds of service with enthusiasm and love. Anything else? I would do it to Roy as a question.
Yes.
Bhakti Dennis, did you have a question?
Yes. You mentioned, the question is, some persons have a bigger urge to control. Since we are supposed to be servants, and since we are have to transform this control, how can we use this control in service when we have to be a servant and not be a controller?
Well, our first thing is to hear and accept that we are servants, and that everything here belongs to Krishna, and therefore we have to be careful and attentive in whatever we do. And then to find out what Krishna wants us to do, if we're not speaking directly to Paramatma within the heart, which is not so common nowadays, then we have to hear from Krishna's representatives what they'd like us to do. And if we don't understand it, then we have to humbly investigate and assimilate it until it is clear exactly what Krishna wants us to do, using Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when it's clear, then we should try to do it in a carefully and attentively to please Krishna. And then Krishna will tell us, then if we have that attitude, then even we're so-called controlling, we won't feel ourselves the controllers. We'll feel ourselves as a servant. Controlling is, and when we talk about controlling, usually it's a feeling of controlling. But if we don't feel ourselves we're controlling, we feel ourselves that we're serving, then others may think that we're controlling, and we think, but actually Krishna, if he thinks we're serving, then our life is successful. Anything else? Oh, Avadhuta Roy.
In one of his commentaries, Vishwana Chakravati writes that it is a foolishness to say, how can prema enter the heart when the disease of lust is there? He emphasizes faith in the scriptures and the holy name. To a qualified person, first prema enters the heart, which then destroys lust. This proves prema is stronger than jnana yoga. Can you comment on this, please?
It sounds like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented quite a bit on it. Well, we accept things theoretically. That's what we're hearing. And then we try to understand things properly. Then we try to accept, then we try to get a vision, a practical vision, how to apply what we've understood, especially in the relationship with the devotees, in the relationship to the innocent, with the non-devotees, in the relationship to Krishna. So when Krishna sees that we're making an effort, then he gives us intelligence, how to do it with more consistency and more enthusiasm. And when he sees that we're actually surrendering to him, and that we're actually accepting the intelligence he's giving us, then he gives us a little revelation, you could say. He reveals himself a little bit, and we become ecstatic. And in that ecstasy, part of what we understood theoretically, what we were trying to apply practically, becomes realized, experienced, and then becomes clearer, and we make some progress. Of course, usually after that happens, we become puffed up. We think ourselves to be, you know, great sages, and the Maya has to come along eventually to convince us we're not quite as great as we were imagining ourselves to be. And then the whole process starts over. Go up a little bit and a little down.
Okay, the next question is, always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is also said, chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation. Can you comment on this?
Well, chanting the holy name, as Prabhupada says here in this verse, begins with initiation. But what do we mean by initiation? It means the attitude of becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Now, you may be formally initiated, and you may not have that attitude. And you may not be formally initiated. And if you somehow or another have developed that attitude, because after a lot we look in our scriptures, our first born was Lord Brahma. He was initiated, we could say, by simply hearing the Gayatri mantra, the sound of Krishna's flute. There was no formal ceremony. He just heard. He was receptive and he heard. And he realized he was Krishna's eternal servant, at least in our Brahma Samhita. So our initiation ceremonies, everything like that, is making the atmosphere conducive so that we accept at least one devotee as our authority. And if we accept that devotee as our authority, and he's teaching us how to properly accept the other devotees as authorities, how to properly see Krishna, how to see the devotees, how to see the innocent and the non-devotees, then it's effective. Now if someone comes along and like Shukadeva Goswami, and he's liberated from birth, then initiation is not necessary. We don't find formal initiations in the past. But in Kali Yuga, where people have uncontrolled senses and uncontrolled minds, if they don't take initiation, even if they become servants of devotees, usually by becoming servants of everyone, you don't become servant of anyone. Therefore, initiation is necessary, at least, especially in Kali Yuga, to establish that I'm actually serving some authority rather than serving, you know, my feelings, for instance.
Somebody asked me if we have to make endeavors to attain good qualities. Then what role does chanting play in our progress to the mode of goodness?
Well, chanting is the most pious activity. If we're actually chanting with attention and feeling, and Krishna reveals himself with Srimati Radharani, then under the even a little glimpse of Ladini Shakti, all of the lust, anger, greed, all the impurities become burnt, just like the fire turns firewood to ashes. So the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness burns to ashes all the reactions of our previous activities. And since the modes of ignorance and passion are simply the accumulated dust or contamination from previous activities, if we chant Hare Krishna and they're purified, then it helps us rise to the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is simply the absence of those things which are burnt in the fire of the holy name. Cheto, Dharpana, Marjana. Well, we have to chant, actually asking Krishna, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, to engage us in their loving service. If we don't really want to be engaged in the loving service, then we're not really willing to give up the lust and service. Kamadinam katida katida palitas durniteshas. We're not willing to give up service to lust, anger, and greed.
Thank you.
That's it, okay.
It's good.
Paula Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.